You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae. I'm Monique LeRae, coming to you live from, actually from USC today. There is a charity event called Cam for a Cause nearby. So I decided to post up here and pregame with the show. I've never stayed here before. It's quite lovely. If you're ever in the area, it's off the 110 here in Los Angeles, right across the street from the campus. So smart to have it. Thank you, USC, for having me here today. And thank you for sharing your Sunday with me. A couple announcements off the top. Like I was mentioning before, today is Cam for a Cause celebrity charity. I'm very excited to be a part of this and have brands, sponsors, people who have auctioned off items. Thank you so much. Shout out to Organized by the T. Shout out to Way Up, La Casa del Camino, Everyday Soul Dances, and many, many more. And the Shalom Center. Thank you so much for your support. It's for epilepsy research and prevention, and there's going to be some cool people there tonight. So I'm excited. I'll be posting photos. But right now, I want to jump right in the show. And I think our first guest here is already here. Okay, Tad's in the building. Tad Negri, and I want to say that correctly. Welcome to The Startup. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. Super excited. So happy to answer any questions.
Wonderful, wonderful. So why don't we go full screen, and why don't you introduce yourself and your brand and tell the listeners and viewers who you are?
So my name is Tab Negrete. I'm based out of Tucson, Arizona. So I have a couple businesses here. My major business, or number one business, is I'm a real estate investor. So I've been real estate investing for 5 years now, going on six. So I've completed close to 80 flips, and then I have a couple rentals. I'm actually in the process of buying my first commercial building that I'm really excited about. So it's 11,000 square feet. It's here in Tucson. So I'm also in a couple of businesses, right? So that's going to be like the headquarters for everything. And I'm going to rent out about, I want to say like 80% of the building. But we're going to have a music studio because I'm also in music. I'm in art. I design shoes, custom shoes, and everything. So it's going to be, we're going to have clothing there. And we're also leaning in towards the nonprofit sector. We're really trying to focus on helping people, underprivileged kids, and especially kids or parents that are coming out of hard situations, being in jail, being drugs or whatever. So we're going to have a special place for them where they could come in, learn how to use a computer. Tucson is a lot of immigrants as well. So we're going to have English classes. We're going to have a bunch of things, right? So we can help the community, and just through art, which is kind of my passion. I've always been in music and art. So now that my companies are established, we're going to also help them be in whatever sector that is, right? So we're also getting ready to launch a mentorship program for real estate investing. So we're really going to be able to help up-and-coming real estate investors make the right choices, see what to look out for. But yeah, that's a little bit of my business background. I was born and raised in Arizona. I was born in Yuma, Arizona, and grew up in the small border town of San Luis, Arizona. I was Monday through Friday, I would be in school in Arizona, and then on the weekends, I would be with my family and, on the Mexican side. So I have both cultures very in me, which I'm very proud and loving.
This is the kind of, you're the kind of entrepreneur I just love. Tad, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for all the work that you're doing with helping with the basics, right? The computers, the computer literacy, and having access and giving people opportunities where maybe they wouldn't have them otherwise. And I really love that you're leaning all in and you're casting this wide net of entrepreneurship. You're like, hey man, I'm not going to just stop here. This thing has legs. And you know, entrepreneurs like you get me really excited because I know what it's like to have those ideas. And I really want to know, where did you get your start, right? Like, who helped you, or how did you help yourself get to the place where now you can help others and cast such a wide net in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so for me, I was very blessed to grow up in a family full of entrepreneurs. So my family's always been in business. They always owned real estate on the Mexican side of where I grew up. And then my family still owns restaurants in Mexico City. So I used to spend every summer with my uncle Gilberto. He started in the early 90s. And grew to like 10 to 15 very successful restaurants. So my mom used to send me by myself to go spend time with him. So I used to get on a plane by myself. And that's where my passion for travel and photography started. I've been traveling since I was 3 years old with my family. And then my first solo trip to see my uncle was when I was 10. So I would always, my uncle used to just take me around all his restaurants while he was doing business and meeting with the staff and other business partners. So even as a young kid, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, right? I was like, oh, I want to be like my uncle. So I want to be able to run my own businesses. And then countless other family friends from the family that just kind of always took me under their wing. Another family that was deep in my entrepreneurial spirit is the Jackson family in San Luis, Arizona. So they owned a lot of real estate, and then they used to set up their own businesses. So my mom, since I was 3-4 years old, she would always help them run the businesses, right? When they opened the business, she would kind of move on and make sure all that was running smoothly. And then the owner, Bruce and Yvonne Jackson, had three kids. They were older than me, but they were kids I looked up to, right?
Hang tight, everybody. We're having a little trouble with the audio, and I'm having a cough attack, but we're going to get back to it in just a moment, and then we can't hear you. We're going to have him log out and come back. Hang tight, everybody, for Ted. All right. So, excuse my cough attack. I think I'm just getting all that travel out. But Tad has amazing things that he is sharing. I want to just recap real quick. If you're just tuning in, we have Tad Negrete from the Arizona area and by way of Mexico City. He has a real estate mentorship investment brand. He's working on nonprofits. He is in custom shoemaking, art, music. But he's doing his first commercial building investment in Tucson. Hey, there you are, Tad. Sorry about that.
No worries. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
No, I think between my cough attack and you sharing, it just went out. But let's reset. Where can people reach out to you if they're interested in the mentorship, if they're interested in learning from you or just want to work with you, if they're in the Tucson area or in the region, where can they find you?
So the main thing I use, and I tell all my friends and family this, is Instagram is the best business card that you can present to anybody. So everything I run off my Instagram. My main one, I have a couple pages, but my main one is Tad, T-A-D underscore T-R-E-S. So it's just the number 3 in Spanish spelled out. So T-R-E-S. And that's where you see a lot of just my personal life, design, the art stuff. But they could reach out to me there, and then I can definitely guide them. And then I also have a travel page where it's – I've been fortunate enough to travel the world, and since I've always been into photography, I like to take cool pictures of the landscapes, So you could also find my travel page there. I'm barely in the process of starting my website where people can reach out and more on the business side, right? So, but yeah, just my Instagram. And I encourage everybody, get on Instagram. Don't be shy. That's the best business card you could present. And it's, you're going from networking for my, in my instance, it's, I can network here in Tucson or I can network in the whole globe with Instagram. So that's kind of
so true. It's so true. And I've had a very wonderful experience at Tucson. When I worked at MTV, I was casting a show, and what a great fun college town. Give us your Instagram handle one more time, Tad.
So it's Tad, T-A-D underscore T-R-E-S.
Tad, I would like to have you come back and give you more time because I really want to dive in more, but I want to invite you offline to one of our celebrity gifting suites. I think your art, your shoes, your mentoring would be great in the celebrity space. And I really would love to hear more about it. Mexico City is one of my favorite cities. What a beautiful place. And thank you for making time this Sunday on The Startup.
No problem. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I'll be glad to do anything. I love your what you're doing, also helping entrepreneurs and spreading the word. So I think that's what it's all about, just making sure the next generation knows our secrets so they can be successful and help people.
That's right. We got to make it easier, right? We want to harness talent. So I love your heart. Keep going at it. And I will definitely be following and liking. Tad Negrete, everybody, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Welcome. All right, guys, let's jump right into my next guest. They have a brand new show. Shauna Lee, I want to say it right. Shauna Lee?
Shauna Lee. Very, Shauna Lee. Very good. Thank you, Monique. Monique, I got to say your name right.
That's fine. Yeah, so, you know, depending on where I'm at, Monica or whatever. But welcome. Welcome to The Startup.
Thank you.
And,
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. I'm super jazzed about your show. I know what a challenge it can be sometimes to get a project on the air. But I want to hear all about Only in Iola.
Only in Iola.
All
yes,
right.
Ma'am. Yes,
we're going to go full screen and give you a moment to introduce yourself and your brand new show.
That's awesome. My name is Shauna Lee Charbonneau, and we were people that love to live in the city. We decided to move out in the country and make life a little more simple. When we did that, we did not think that anybody would want to hear our story, but we were asked to tell our story, which we did. Only in Iola is a story of a family who goes through some funny things, some hard times too, to really find out what matters, to really seek in life what truly matters. Our tagline is God, Family, Texas. And we try to stick with that. Of course, those are the best priorities to have, which is the love of God, the love of family, and the love of nation. And it's really been a treat. It's been hilarious that people think our story is funny and entertaining, but we're going with it. And we are now on episode 4. Yes.
Wow. Okay, so there's a lot to digest here because I love a revamp story, you know, starting something different. And it sounds like you guys really took the best of what you have together and decided, hey, this is going to work for us. But by the way, with the pandemic and the endemic, a lot of people have reimagined their lives, to reimagine their businesses. They've gone inward, away from certain big cities. You know, they've really reinvented what it looks like. So I would love to hear from what big city were you in and why Iola?
You know, we lived in Austin, Texas, which is what, number 4 or 5 now? It was crazy. And I grew up there when it was obviously much smaller. And my son actually woke up at 5 and he said, Mom, I'm an Aggie, which is College Station, Texas A&M. We don't know where he got this, but he got So you're just like you said, with the pandemic, you know, I think everybody sat down and said, okay, what is true to me? What is going to make me happy? And we decided College Station was it. Now, when we got here, then they said, okay, you know, my husband, when we got married, he asked me to make 2 promises. And one of them is one day he would have a ranch. And as you know, life moves very, very quickly. And so when we got here, he said, you know, I asked somebody, I said, it was my real estate agent who was in the commercial. You'll see her, Erin. She says, welcome to your new home in the commercial. And I said, if you could ever buy land, where would you buy it? And she said, Iola. And I said, where? people, and they are all fantastic. They are amazing people.
You've met all of them. Probably.
Yes. trying to meet all of them. Yes. And it really is. We are completely in the country. And it really is funny. I mean, even we've been there for a short time, and just to even know my own change is just hilarious to think what we thought in the beginning. It's humorous.
So, yeah. This is great. So, and I'm very familiar with Austin. When I was working on Christina's Court, we taped Fox Networks in Houston. And then I wound up meeting someone and then going to, you know, Austin Center Circle, the condos there by the Whole Foods. So I'm very familiar with Austin, keeping it weird. Shout out to Austin. I fit right in there because I'm a little weird. And, you know, I really do love that you made this dream of your husband and yours a reality, having a ranch, because that's got to be kind of cool to get fresh everything and tend to the land. But it sounds like a lot of work too. I mean, tell me what that's like.
It's unending. You know, my mother was very insightful because, I always feel like my husband gave me what I wanted in the beginning. I mean, we flew all over the world. We had a house in a golf course community. I mean, I went to some of the finest restaurants, hotels. I mean, he was awesome. And again, moving so quickly, you know, I realized that wasn't going to work again. But When we bought the land, my mother looked at me and said, "Oh, girl, you have no idea how many chores you just bought yourself." And it doesn't, you could literally, on a ranch, you don't talk about your chores by the end of the day. You talk about your chores on what you can get done before you die.
Because, oh, no. a ranch bucket list.
Yeah. I mean, it's forever. And then on top of that, you know, it's not like the city where if you have a rainstorm, you're like, okay, let's let that pass. I mean, you have to, where's the animals? Everybody okay? Do we have to start digging, you know, trenches? This just happened with all the rain in Texas. You know, as we were trying to finish this barn dominium, my husband's trying to route water around the barn dominium and around his barn and the greenhouse and everything like that. So it's crazy, and making sure all the animals are safe. Yeah. A lot of people lost their livestock in the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yes. And that's gotta be something that you're managing risks and such, and managing a lot of logistics, moving parts. Barnuminium, guys, that's the word of the day here at the startup. I just learned something new. I'm in MBA school. I don't know everything. Never heard of barnuminium before. So I'm so excited. Is this like a teeny house with a barn in it? What is a barnuminium?
And even the new word that I learned, I knew barnuminium, but barndo is the new condo, barndo. This is what my son
calls. I like a barndo. That sounds cool.
Right, barndo. Yeah. So what's so funny is you'll actually walk and you'll see the barndo in the, you know, in all the episodes that, you know, you'll see it kind of being built. And in the barndo, it looks like just this boring structure. And you walk into some of these barndos, and I mean, it's a designed, now granted, this one is not. So I learned everybody who has a ranch does exactly the same thing. They have a trailer, which you'll see in the commercial, and or a small, you know, portable house. And then they'll build a small house, and then they'll build the big house. So we're on the small house. So it's not that, but at this point, I am grateful for it, because the trailer is, and all this transitional living is not fun. It's not fun. So
yeah. And you're settling in, right? It's like anything else. Like when you were traveling with your husband and you did the hotels, I just came off a trip from, you know, with my school in Europe, you're lugging your bags. It's just a different, you're setting yourself up for the next chapter, it sounds like. And with that, you guys, Chanelie and her family, and I want to say the right, how do we pronounce your name properly?
Charbonneau, Chanelie Charbonneau.
Charbonneau, yes. Bonjour. Okay. Okay, good. You might be a little Creole. I'm Creole. I don't know. That sounds very French and Creole to me.
Yeah. My father was Irish and my mother was French. And for my husband, his father was French and his mother was Irish. So yeah, it works. It works.
So yeah. The Charbonneau family have a new show. Where can people... Now you're on episode 4, I think you said. Yes. It just started streaming last month. Congratulations. Where can people tune in right now and binge and get their popcorn and catch up?
Yes. Roku, Roku TV. You just go to your home screen. You search Only in Iola. You can do that for social media as well. That's the key phrase. and also Amazon Fire TV. And we're getting the troops ready to really go through all the other smart TVs. So there's no limit to that. So yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we tried really hard on this show to do this show for the family. And we are finding out that families are actually sitting together and watching it. So please, if you can, you know, as a group, as a couple, as a family, you know, watch it. We try to leave something in there for everybody.
No, I like what you're saying, and let's discuss it, right? We have a nation divided. This isn't a political show, but when you hear God, Texas, and country, or God, faith, and family, God, I want to kind of peel the onion. It's a safe space here. Let's peel the onion, because we all get to where we get to in life for different reasons, and I want to kind of demystify. I don't want people to go, oh, that's not for me. Why should everybody across the board, no matter what, where they come from, city or, you know, different backgrounds, what do you have to offer everyone in your show?
Man, fantastic question. We spent an entire year of thinking and frankly praying. I mean, that's the God's honest truth, and really talking about what we wanted people to take away from this. Mm-hmm. And we felt the same way. We felt like so many shows were divided. So many shows wanted to, you know, kind of speak an opinion over giving hope and thoughts and discussions and bringing us together. So we spent an entire year, you know, listening to, we have a test group, we had a prayer group, we had family, and we weren't there to put something out to force our ideology down people's throats. We were there to create a show that was so positive that everybody got something from it. And we meant that. We worked very hard at that there. And it is funny to watch people watch the show now, because nobody takes away the same thing. And what, except this, they take away the lovely hope that this show gives, which is we can get through this now. We have to start talking to each other and being good people and just relaxing and taking a breath. Mm-hmm. And really searching for what makes you happy, you know, and enjoying that moment and bringing people into that moment and reconnecting again. Right. That's what we really tried very hard to do. So we hope that people watch it, you know, all included, no exclusions, if you will. So
that's great, because we need more of that. We need more listening to one another. I find having conversations that are different outside of what I might lean towards, I grow, I learn. I'm like, how did you get to that? And when you learn about how someone got somewhere, wow, you have a new appreciation for that person. And you don't have to, you know, hey, you're faith-based. God doesn't color in all the same crayons, right? So he doesn't make the same animals.
Yeah,
so, you know, he's got a thought for all animals. And if the animals could just talk to each other, I think, what a cool world. And all right, so let's get to know some of the characters. We have a few more minutes if you could stay with us.
Yes.
Let's get to know some of the characters on the show and what makes you guys watchable. Why would we tune in and spend our evenings with you?
You know that. So, of course, my husband, he's very much a guy who has lived kind of an exciting life. He's traveled all over the world. He's kind of a rancher. When I first married him, people thought that he was putting on a personality, because Texas men, you know, really are, they have this long drawl and these great stories about grabbing snakes and all this other stuff. It's all true. One, you know, number two, my son, ever since he was seven, he started Braden Outdoors, and he really wants to inspire kids. In fact, his tagline is get off the electronics and get outdoors with Braden Outdoors. Great. So that's what his mission in life is, to motivate to do that. And then of course, I think, you know, I was the one who changed the most. So I think people come up to me and they tell me they enjoy watching me because they know my transition is painful, but I had faith and I wanted to do the right thing by my family and my husband, whatever that is. I'm not saying that that's for everybody. That was for us. Mm-hmm. And to see coming off just, you know, so my yays and estheticians and then trying to figure out how to live in this world. And I think, you know, it's a moment where I'm hopeful that people can let their mind rest and you know, laugh at what we're going through and enjoy the moment versus, you know, trying to figure out what we're trying to say or whatever like that. We wanted it to be a very strong show that brings, like I said, hope and faith to wherever you are in your life or wherever you're living. It doesn't matter.
That's good, because – I like that you're leaning into it and you're being transparent, because you know what? In reality, I helped, you know, a lot of people might look, I helped build the reality genre 24 years ago, and I see the shifts. And like any other thing, it changes and evolves. But if you are transparent and it's real, the audience will pick that up right away, even if it's lightly scripted. The audience for reality and docu-series are very smart. They know when you're shoveling the wrong thing at them, right? I'm trying to use some ranch terms.
Shoveling the bowl. Yes.
And you said that it was especially painful. Let's lean into that for a moment, if you will.
Let's
be transparent. Talk to us, sister. You left the scene, and now you got your boots. Well, I mean, what are we doing?
You know, the best scene, and I'm not going to give too much of a spoiler, and you are correct. One of the things, and we really had a challenge with this, we'd say it's reality, and you just see the, that eye roll. And we tell people, look, you know, a lot of the filming is literally in one of the episodes, you know, it was like the cow is out of the gate, and Jens Delport, which is with Alignment Media, we've got a whole team, Jens, Natila Delport, and Jonathan Petrikowski. I always say Petrikowski, but, you know, they are so awesome to the fact that they'll stop and they'll race over there. So a lot of the episode is literally happening at that moment.
Good.
But we have had to recreate some of the stories because they're very powerful. And just to talk about the pain in episode one, it is I reenacted it, but it's a true story. I came on the ranch and I was all dressed up in the heels. And I'm like, these heels are not working in the ground. Like, what is that?
Not made to walk in. Yeah.
No. Okay. And so then I stopped that. And then I got my pretty city ranch wear. So I was all blinged out. And then I was just like dirty. And then I came back and I started wearing yoga wear. Girl, I was at the store like every other week trying to buy, like, what do you wear on the ranch? Like, what is it?
You gotta get your Pinterest page up, you know?
No, it's not a fashion statement.
Yeah.
And sure enough, finally, I bought these very expensive, like $200 Western jeans and got paid on them and was like, these are it. I mean, I don't know what else to do. This is what I'm wearing. And a lot of t-shirts and hats and stuff, of course. But
wow.
You'll see it in episode one. You'll see that transition. It was very, very funny. It went very
I can't
well.
Wait. I'm getting the truffle popcorn out and the wine, like after my event tonight. I'm in it. Like, I like this because, you know, it's true. You guys, you know, life happens in different phases. Like you said, it goes quick, and it sounds like you and your husband and your family have a good time. So time flies when you're having fun. You're like, oh, wait, we forgot to do this on the list. And it sounds like you really are just being present in the moment. And I really love that you have love for your husband to step up there for him and meet his goal. I think it's beautiful. And we are, listen, you got your number one new fans here. We're going to watch you guys. Only in Iola. Why don't we plug it one more time? Let's get your social medias plugged. Where can people follow, like, and share? And where can people become subscribers?
Absolutely. So social media real quick is Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Only in Iola. I think Facebook is Only in Iola TV show or TV series. But there's no other Only in Iola. So you're good. You could be able to... Iola too. I've gotten that question. How do you spell Iola? I'm like, Iola.
Iola. Iola. Yeah,
absolutely. Or they call it 10LA is what they, as kind of a funny joke that it's, you know, country and it's this big and, you know, like 10LA. But and then of course, Roku, just go to your home screen and search Only in Iola, just like anything else. It's an app channel and you download that. And same for Amazon Fire TV, same thing. So yes.
Love that. And so where, you said there's about 300. Now the closest little small town I've been to that number is a city called Pinedale, Wyoming. I wanted to learn how to ski properly. And I was in between Rock Springs and Jackson Hole. And I was trying to get to Jackson Hole to meet my friends from San Francisco. And I'm like, wait, hold on. This is a cute little town, but there was only like 5,000 people there. And here I come with the California license plate and all this. And it was just amazing. And I just fell in love with it. And so I can only imagine 300 characters, 300 people in that town. Everybody's kind of in everybody's, you know, world, right? Because it's not a big city. But what, and you don't have to say any names, but what characters have you met that just you're like, wow, only in Iola?
Oh, man. No, I'll name names. So, okay. Yes. Okay. You know, the thing, I think the thing too is one of the things we wanted to do is just kind of break down people's thoughts of it, what a small town really is. And we're trying, what we're, one of the missions we're trying to do is to get people to start listening before they start talking or making judgment. Right. Yeah. And yes, in a small town, everybody knows everybody. It's like, that's my cousin. That's my sister, you know, that type of stuff. But the beauty of it is amazing. And on the channel, we have little videos, one called the crew, which is the directors. And then we have the matriarchs. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who are old enough to realize that history matters, right? There is Miss Mary Lee Crocker Parnell, and she is 83, and she talks about her life starting in Iola, leaving Iola, coming back to Iola, and all the things that she has learned in this life. And it is, I mean, I've had some women come up to me and say they're grown men that, you know, their husbands that are really manly men, they're sobbing over this show. And that means a lot. That means a lot to me that we have touched their heart to show the beauty of life. And it's not Iola. I mean, the story is definitely about Iola. Iola is, and we've brought those characters forward. But at the end of the day, it's really about you. It's really about how you feel and how you, and what you think and what you want to do with your life. That's it.
I love it. Now, is Iola your, well, we can never know, right? Like, I mean, we didn't know we were going to have a pandemic, but like, we didn't know it was going to be crazy. But is Iola your last stop in this part of the story for your family? Or you, do you see another transformation, or what do you think?
No, that's a good, we are retiring there. Now, with that said, my son is really taking the Braden Outdoors thing. That is kind of the next thing. What's happening is people in this show are getting noticed, and they're being asked to do what they do best. So Braden, we're going to start shooting Braden Outdoors, which is, again, really into not just part of the Iola story, but, you know, a kid who's going to really try to motivate children to get off this electronics. Not, and we all have that problem. So I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying we work towards that. Yeah. Not
being through some balance, which is refreshing.
Absolutely. So we're going to we're going to shoot Braden Outdoors, and then we're going to do season two because of the response was so positive, so positive. It again, we've noticed it doesn't matter young, old, you know, whatever, whoever you are, you know, city, country. And we tested across those borders too. Like we tested everybody. It didn't matter. You know, we made sure we had a very good, so when they came back and they give input, and it was funny to see their reaction, but when a city person and a country person, for instance, or a male or a female, if they came back and they had the same opinion, then we knew we had to change the show, if that made sense.
Yeah, that does. And I'm loving that you did your due diligence and you did your market research, because things have changed with Nielsen ratings and how things move digitally and getting the ratings. And for you to do that, you were you're protecting your brand and your investment of time and money and your team. And you knew you were, the fact that you were open to shift but still stay authentic, and receive that feedback is really smart. Guys, take a tip out of Miss Chanelie's page here, because that is how you do it. I'm really excited for you. Where do you go next as a strong family woman, entrepreneur, go-getter? Where do you see yourself? Are you going to do any TED Talks? Are you going to do any motivational speaking? Where are you going to go?
You know, funny, that's where I started off. And the show has been, you know, first off, the success of the show was something we never saw coming. I mean, we were literally so focused on being authentic and just putting out a good story that we did not see the barrage of, I mean, this show is not even just being liked in the local area, but Texas, but the United States. And now it's already going, we have a UK following just as much as we have a US following. Wow. It's nuts. But yeah, I mean, I want to get back to speaking. I think that's a very powerful platform, and I believe it's something you have to be very responsible for and doing. And I've challenged my husband and my son when we realized the show was becoming very, very popular. I said, every time you grab a mic, you realize that that's a huge compliment, and you must be responsible in what you say. because yeah. your voice is being projected out, and you better keep it positive, and you better keep it, you know, and I'm not saying that life isn't all positive moments. That's not what I'm saying.
No, Yeah.
I just don't, I think that some of the individuals that have grabbed a mic in the recent history was more focused on hurting people than helping them. And that's what this show, that's what we are really striving to do, which is to heal versus to have the divisiveness. And that's
I like that. That sounds refreshing. Well, I welcome that. Hey, that must be the God part. That must be the God part. You're actually doing what that part seems to want to promote, and you're leaning in and being ethical about your message. And thank you for that, for adding balance to the ether.
Yes. Yeah. And so we're open, and we are now starting to get asked to obviously make appearances, but I would love to do a TED talk. I would love to do whatever I, not only I've been asked to do, but Christ has asked me to do to start to heal this nation and the people in it, because I think it's time. And again, we didn't do the show. You know, I challenged the director. I said, you know, beating somebody over the head with the Bible is not the answer. So right. how do we do this to get back? Because that would be, that's another divisive tactic of some people, right?
Yeah.
Let me say it. So how do we do this where we bring everybody back together in a way that is that God part, is God?
I like that. I like that. That's going to be attractive to people. You know, I think you just being who you are and in a land far, far away, I grew up in that. It's another story for another day, but, you know, very Pentecostal, very speaking in tongues, you know, and like the Black church kind of thing and the gospel, like all that was my world. And you know, here I am, this heathen now, but no, I'm just kidding. You know, we evolve and we have our own thing, but yeah. I can recognize, the authenticity there in your message, and it shines through, and I'm loving what you're doing. So will there be any, side note, will there be any merch available? Can we get an Only in Iola shirt?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Thank you, God. You're a blessing. So if you go on the website, onlyiniola.com, and there's a shop, the shop actually goes to the Mercantile downtown Iola, because there's like two stores in Iola.
the Mercantile.
Yes. Right, the Mercantile. And it was this old, it was back in the 1800s. It was actually where people got their groceries. Yes. So it's a beautiful store. They have fantastic tumblers, shirts, hats, things that say Only in Iola, you know, the brand, shirts and hats that say God Family Texas. You know, some people really, now we're talking about doing shirts where you can pick the fourth line, like God Family Texas Vodka, you know, or whatever.
So, God made grains.
Yeah, God made grains. And yeah, or Dr. Well, I don't know if we could do Dr. Pepper, but anyways, anywhere you want to put coffee, you know.
Yeah.
So yes, if you want to go to onlyiniola.com, go to the merch or the shop tab, it will take you to the Mercantile. And they've been awesome. They've been working real busy. They've been getting a lot of orders. There's bracelets that say God Family Texas. That was in the actual commercial. When you see me get off the plane and into the limo, you'll see them. So they're like God Family Texas.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Even in silver. I got to check this out. You guys, check out Shanna Lee and her family, Only in Iola. Now I'm going to look up Iola. I want some good barbecue if I come there. I'm going to dust off my cowboy boots. I mean, this sounds fantastic. And I hope to see you again. Maybe we can have you on again and do a check-in and see how you're doing. Maybe we can even have you out during Emmys week, maybe the celebrity event. We'd love to have you.
That would be fantastic. I would really be honored to do that.
Yeah, we'll chat. I'll have my people call your people.
Yeah.
No, your people. Thank you for sharing your Sunday. I know it's about family on Sundays, and lots of blessings and continued success. Only in Iola. Shanna Lee, thank you so much for being on The Startup.
Thank you, Monica. You're wonderful. Thank you, baby.
You too, my dear. All right, you guys. We've got William. I'm so excited. William Moore. How's it going, William? Welcome to The Storm.
Hi there. I'm in a storm. I'm in Dallas in a storm.
Oh, my God. Everybody's in Texas. Okay. Are you on tornado watch? What's happening?
I don't know. It just happened all of a sudden. I'm actually, it's gay pride here. And okay. I'm actually at a gay pride festival. And so I had planned to like leave my car and leave the festival and come to my car, but it pretty much is been stopped because of the storm that we have here. So, this was a nice little getaway, so I can come get dry for your podcast.
Well, I'm glad you're safe. And by the way, yes, thank you for reminding me. Happy Pride, everybody. Wave your flag, support and love. And William Morris here, hiding out from a storm, but we're going to get you in now. Why don't we go full screen? William, tell us who you are and tell us about your brand.
Hi there. So my name is William Moore, and I am the inventor, the innovator of a procedure called Falafil, which is paint on girth enhancement. And we use hyaluronic acid dermal filler, which is very safe, FDA cleared, to increase the girth of the penis very safely with a very nice, undetectable, symmetrical result. That's what I do. I teach people how to inject penises.
I love my show. You know, we just came from God, family, and country, and we're at the Gay Pride talking about penis enhancement. I just love the startup. We have range here, everybody. And William, tell us, okay, so you have this new, so did you get the patent? How did you do it? I know that scientists, inventors out there that have ideas want to get right to it. Can you give us a bit
of
us?
So what's patented is the post-care garment that we put on the patient after the procedure. Okay. You can be the best injector in the world, but the penis retracts. It's very dynamic. It twists, it turns, it expands, it shrinks. It does all kinds of crazy things. And we need to keep it expanded and compressed during the healing process. And that's the flaw of every other dermal procedure, is that the providers don't have a good way to keep the penis compressed and elongated during the healing process. And when the penis retracts, if you think about an accordion and you get the baffles in the accordion, that's what happens to the penis. But our process uses a post-care garment that is patented. We have it being patented in 8 other regions, which is like Canada, Mexico, UK, EU, Australia, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, these different places that have a lot of medical tourism, if you will. So we're going to be patented across the world. And now we're in the process of getting our post-care garment FDA cleared, which is really going to set us apart from any other procedure on the market, is when we get this FDA clearance. We're registered as an FDA device, as a class 2 medical device, but we will soon, we hope, have some FDA clearances behind our name as well. So we're really excited.
This is cool. Like, I just came back from Greece and they were talking about a lot of the medical advances there. I would say if you haven't looked already, look into Greece, because they've got some things that are right in this lane and advanced. And congratulations on getting one step closer. I'm excited for you. So what, you know, we love a startup story. So did you get this idea in your dreams? Did you
oh my gosh. It was a process. So it's my journey with girth enhancement actually started probably in 2008 when someone made a comment to me about having a small penis when they were angry with me, someone that I was dating. And I actually, for the record, am very happy with the size of my penis. It's larger now because of Falafel, but there was never really a problem. I was above average, but something like that can really hurt a man whenever someone makes a comment like that about you. Yeah. And so I never forgot about it. And so I had some procedures done myself. I had some fat grafting. I had the suspensory ligament procedure done. They were both unsuccessful. They luckily I didn't have a horrific outcome. I didn't have any result, but it didn't leave me disfigured. I started doing a procedure called the P shot, which is platelet-rich plasma, which we inject into the penis, into the corpora. It's made to increase sexual function, reduce erectile dysfunction, but it was also originally promised for girth enhancement. It does not provide girth enhancement. I promoted it in 2010. I had a med spa with about 10,000 people on my newsletter list. I sent this newsletter out. Tremendous amount of men wanted to increase the size of their penis girth. It didn't work. So after a couple of years, I had to stop making those claims. And then I went back to not having a girth enhancement procedure. But then I started seeing a lot of men come in with permanent dermal fillers. And the permanent fillers are a disaster. A permanent dermal filler is a permanent disaster when something goes wrong, and it usually does when someone doesn't have a post-care garment that keeps the penis compressed and extended. You get permanent lumps. You get permanent disfigurement. And so I said, there's got to be a better way. And I knew that some people were doing hyaluronic acid dermal filler, but they weren't doing it well because it didn't have a post-care garment. And so I put together a way to inject it, which I think is amazing, that we get it in place and it's even and symmetrical. But then the key was keeping it in place. And so about 4 to 5 months after I began injecting it, we had our first cold front here in Dallas. And all my patients who were very happy all of a sudden came in and they were having lumps, just like all the other providers had. Mm-hmm. And so I realized we have to create a post-care garment that's going to keep them from retracting when it gets cold. And so that's when I began to develop the post-care garment. It took me over a year to get that developed. It was back and forth with engineers and with people who were making materials and trying to figure out exactly what the right material was and the right dimensions. Once I got that finalized, that's when we began to launch it. I showed a urologist that it was a reconstructive urologist. He said, Bill, you've got something here that we've never seen before. We've got to do something big with this. And so all these top KOL urologists, key opportunity leaders, which are the ones that publish the most, they're the most well-respected, jumped on board and they began talking about it and bringing their colleagues on board. And now the Urology Association, the SMS, the president of the American Urology Association, you know, has reached out to us about injecting. So we had the biggest names in urology trying to offer Falafel now. So that's the whole process. That's where we came from.
Wow. Guys, listen, if you take anything away from this, forget it's just about penises, because you could apply this to anything. William took a negative experience, a hurtful experience. A lot of women experience this when they talk about parts of our body too. And you turn this into gold. I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think you're helping people too, you know, feel good about themselves and doing
it's
it.
It's all about self-confidence. It's big. Can I say the word that's D-I-C-K? Can I say that?
Yes, we're irreverent.
Okay, good. Big dick energy. The energy that a man has when they have a larger penis, I believe, can far outweigh the energy that a man has when he has a penis that he's not happy about. I've seen men have career boosts and they've invented new products and they've started new companies and they get promotions and they date women in a higher tier off Tinder. And, you know, so many things can change for a man when he steps out of the shower and perceives himself with a bigger penis. Even if he has a normal size penis, you don't have to have a small penis to have this procedure done. Most of the men that we treat have a normal to maybe even above normal size penis, but they want it to be better. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to make yourself better if we can do it safely and we can make it undetectable.
That's right. That's right. I'm on board, ladies. If you get your titties done or your ass done,
exactly,
or whatever you're doing. I mean, I wear my hair pieces, whatever. It's about self-confidence, and it does translate because it is an energy. BDE, William in the storm in Dallas talking about male enhancement in a safe and effective way. Come back. Happy Pride Month.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, and please plug where people can follow and maybe get a consultation or talk to you.
Absolutely. So go to our website. It's www.fallofill, phallofill.com. And when you go to the website, you're going to see places where you can look at before and after photographs. You're going to see a place where you can take the quiz and see, am I a candidate? You're going to see locations that you can choose from. We're looking for more locations, so we're expanding very quickly. But there's a way to be able to text with us. So you don't even have to pick up a phone call and call us. You can literally discreetly text us and ask questions. And my entire team only answers questions about girth enhancement. And all of my men that work for the team have actually had the procedure. So they can actually share their experiences and what it's like for the recovery and what it's done for their sex life and all these things. But go to the website and send us a text and let's get you involved and find out more about it.
Let's get you out here. You guys, check that out. I'd love to have you come down during Emmys week and get some of these celebrities involved. Maybe you can come during.
Please.
Yes,
please.
You come out.
Yes.
I'm going to email your people, so look for that.
Yes, I would love you to email my people. We have people.
Thank you for sharing some of your Sunday and your pride event. Hopefully the weather clears up and you can enjoy.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, what will you start up today? I love my show. Sam, what a fun show. Thank you for keeping it here. And what we start up today, I'll see you next Sunday. Be well. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.